Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, happy Monday. You're listening to Grey Eye Smith, and this is the Garden of Enlightenment with Lee Wildub, Weaver of Dreams, and Frank, a.k.a. Poetic Picasso. And Liu is recovering from an operation that she had on Friday, so it will be just Katie and myself tonight. I think Frank will probably be on the board. Tonight's show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies on Amazon.com under the same moniker, so feel free to check those out. And tonight's show is based on front page picks from May and June, I believe. All right, so I'm going to grab my co-host here, Katie, a.k.a. Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Weaver. How are you?
Hello, my dear. I'm absolutely fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Great to hear your voice.
And you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we've got a caller here, area code 707. Hello, area code 707.
This is Irish. Irish Rose.
Hi, Irish. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How about you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right, Katie, so if we could grab the second poem on the list, that would be great. It's by Colette.
Okay. Yeah, got that one. Here we are, The Universe in a Garden by Colette. And would you like to start off with reading this one for us, Gray? Oh, no, hang on.
There's a SoundCloud. There's a SoundCloud, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a SoundCloud.
Okay, we'll take that.
The Universe in a Garden. Cytus bobapes, jumping spider posing on dog excrement, and garden lawn. Set off eight ruby eyes staring at you and beyond. The scent of stagnant pond calls as first water lily blossoms. Her ivory petals unfurl, set against a jade surface. A barn owl swoop chasing chicken pecking at the earthy foot of a rosebush. A firebug, one on top of another, in a shameless display of ensuring descendants. Golden liquid floods, shadow of plum tree branches changes position. Queen of quiescence, reposing in pre-summer's deliquescence. End the poem.
That was an amazing SoundCloud. She did a wonderful reading, right? And her poem is so visual. You know, it's got that imagery that is fascinating, especially the her stanza. Patient barbit type jumping spider posing a dog excrement on a garden lawn. I mean, you know, that's a fascinating stanza. And then set of eight ruby eyes staring at you and beyond. You know, they are a wonderful, fascinating thing, spiders. And I thought she captured that quite wonderfully. And then a firebug, one on top of another, in shameless display of ensuring descendants. I mean, you know, that's a garden. Right there. Beautiful read and excellent read. What did you think, Weaver?
We do have a rather odd sound on at the moment, so I'm not hearing you too well. I don't know if it's coming through with my vocals. Can you hear that? Oh, it's gone again. Ah, it's gone. Cool. Right, I'm going to speak quickly before it comes back. Yes, I thought this was so descriptive. I mean, you could see it all, couldn't you, in that picture of that spider. Come on, that's somebody's nightmare, surely. Can't be for real. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes, and I thought it was, as I say, very well written, and I love the last, second-to-last stanza. Oh, no, third stanza. The scent of stagnant pond calls as first water lilies blossom, her ivory petals unfurl, set against a jade surface. That's absolutely lovely. So, I mean, very, very descriptive and very pre-summer, which is very good. And, yes, I liked it a lot. Thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment, thank you. All right. So I'm going to bring Irish Rose back on. I believe it was her phone that was making that noise. So, hello, Irish.
Hello? Yeah,
hi.
Yeah.
All right. What did you think of the poem?
I heard, oh, yeah, I really liked the imagery. I thought it was very organic and really well put together. I love the colors as it went through the poem, and you know, there was like fragrances and tastes, and just was very organic. Really enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you so much. All right, Reva, where are we going next?
Right. Next we have The Autumn, The Autumn Sleigh by Identity Crisis. And I will read this one. The Autumn Sleigh, Identity Crisis. Lovely picture. Rolling down a stretch of highway, a two-lane double yellow line, as the sun crests up upon an autumn sleigh, dropping jaws at the emerald pines. The flaxen maples ruffle and sashay, crimson oaks waving as they chime, fluorescent hues hiding the blue bay as the azure sky counts time. Canopy leaves fold their limbs to pray. Colourful autumn shows off her signs, the brown thistle like barrel hay, as tangerine leaves shuffle and shine. The iridescent mountains lay over curvy hills of fragrant wines, rustling up warm light by day, while the hibernating animals dine. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, and such an engaging poem. It really draws you into this stretch of highway that's surrounded by this wonderful forestry, and the beauty that is within that is just omnipresent in the right. I like the iridescent mountains lay over curvy hills of fragrant wines, rustling up warm light by day while hibernating animals dine. It's a beautiful poem. And what did you think, Lee?
Yes, I thought it was so, it was just beautiful. I mean, the colors, yes. Autumn is a time for color. And you go from that sometimes quite boring, various shades of green, and then you get these wonderful leaves turning all the oranges and yellows and like browns as well, of course. But I thought it was lovely. I didn't really need the picture because you could actually see it. It was so well described, and wonderful use of autumn colors as well. So thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right. What did you think, Iris Rose?
Well, I really liked it. I enjoyed the heavy use of descriptive adjectives here, and it just did such justice to the picture. Hand in glove. Very well done. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, where are we to next?
And next we have Tracts of Life by Patterson Mooney. Gray, have you read yet? I'm sorry, my brain's going. I didn't mark you down. Have you read yet?
No.
I didn't think you had, but I wonder if you could read this for us, please.
Sure. This is called Tracts of Life by Patterson Mooney. The old trolley retired, no longer the vibrant fellow he used to be, carrying passengers to and from Westchester to Upper Darby to work, home again, after 8 to 10 hours, daily, except Saturdays and Sunday. Now, kids walk miles along unused tracks, placing obstacles on their way, such as black rubber tires, gray brown rocks, McDonald's food wrappers, Dairy Queen napkins, attracting flies, bees, and birds, all manner of creatures to a feast of burgers, ice cream, pretzels with mustard. Briar, bramble, resembling tumbleweed, is tossed about with 35-mile-an-hour winds, spreading weeds, reeds, whatever is not rooted, into the atmosphere, as in whirlwind flight, day or night. When pouring rains fall, as sheets and with waves, it comes from flooded streams, rivers, brooks, covering tracks to invisibility, until suns reappear, drying the land with glory, yet again. Rock or no rock on the tracks of our lives, we embrace renewal after the storms and look forward to oncoming rainbows. End poem. Did you want to do the comments?
No, I'll just assign readers if you would like to do the comments.
Okay. What did you think of the poem, Weaver?
Oh, funny you should say. I thought it was lovely. I thought it was such a lovely reminiscence of time gone by, which we do tend to enjoy, don't we, looking back on things. But now, of course, we have the way it used to be and the way it is now. Kids walk miles along unused tracks, playing obstacles on their way, black rubber tires, grey brown rocks, McDonald's food wrappers. Oh, my goodness, yes. And Dairy Queen napkins attracting flies, bees and birds, all manners of creatures to feast off burgers, ice cream, pretzels with mustard. Yep, it's a different life altogether now. People are not as outgoing as they used to be, but this is a lovely look at the way things can be and should be. So I really enjoyed it, yes, and I do look forward to rainbows. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's great testimony.
Great comment. Thank you, Lever. And Irish, what did you think?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the nostalgic look back, and like Weaver was saying too, it's like now everything is so changing, and a lot of it is because of financial fortunes are changing and falling, and when you see those kinds of shifts in society, it makes the entire other part of reality more vivid, and it becomes that way. You notice like things being more gray, things being more less kept up, and just there's a demise in the spirit that you feel around you. And I thought that this was captured really well.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Irish Rose. And I'd like to welcome Laurent Yvonne to the show. Hello, Laurent.
Good evening, Gray. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. And how are you?
Oh, sleepy. That's why I'm late. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Did you get a chance to hear that last poem by Patterson Mooney?
I'm reading it right now. I'll leave a textual comment.
Okay, thank you. I really like the poem, you know. I like the storyline, you know, of a time passed and a new time begun, and yet after the storms we wait, you know, for the rainbows to come. So just a beautiful write on that subject of time passing and hoping for a brighter future. So a wonderful poem. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
Oh, next we have Salvation by Boodle. And Laurent, are you up to reading this? Are you okay?
Yeah, why?
Sorry, I just wondered if you were all right for reading, that was all.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't sound incompetent. No problem.
Okay. I want, it's a mother in me. I can't help it. I've got to ask everybody if they're okay. It's just the way we people are. So anyway, Salvation by Boodle. And over to you, Laurent.
Salvation. Knuckle bones gripped in panic. Grainy filaments and nylon ligaments cauterize the gravitational pool in an avalanche of fiber optics, riptiding uniforms, stability. Cold sweat dews up acrylic zinc, tinted visor, as adrenaline injects hyperventilation, signals speaker phoned in shortwave broadcasts, but solar radiation dynamites the call. Anxious teammates not receiving calligraphy in Unicode distress formed. Xenolith fragments on intersection, guide slope, drawing nearer to a cyclical apex, vaporized, his only companions reeling a gyroscope orbit. That rotating orb, magnificent in magnitude, clockwise locomotion like a pinwheel, yawns light years, a sweeping panoramic view, yet tumbles silent. Termination minutiae. Parachuting to a faceless void, quilted by hyperbolic space dust and debris, an uncontrolled satellite beaming radiance. He is a celestial hunchback spectacle, whirling dervish in a death spin cycle, waterlogged jersey heaving in short quips, blood marinating CO2, ornamental bubbles in a vessel that steadily weakens. Succumbing to the numbness of fate, magnetized by the external extremities. Quiet calm envelops weary traveler within cocoon illumination of a million fireflies, under watchful eye of the Grand Master, and the angels start to sing. End poem.
Beautiful read, Laurent, and I really like the poem. You know, it's cosmic in its presence. You know, it's very futuristic and deeply engaging. I really liked his use of language in that, which is a word bank, actually, and that was fascinating that it was a word bank, and it was based on a quote, too. Then the light begins to shine, and I hear those ancient lullabies, My Father's Eyes by Eric Clapton. And so I thought it was a brilliant poem, you know, very definitely different for Voodoo, and I enjoyed it a lot. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, it was you see the amount of words in that word bank. I think he must have used every single one. So well done. The restriction in that kind of format, I think, brings out the best in people, because you have to work it all out and get it all in and get it in the right place. And very good. It sounded to me as if it was a satellite whose gravitational orbit was decreasing. Yeah, sounded as if it was heading downwards. But I just thought all the different words worked so beautifully in this. I liked cold sweat dews up acrylic zinc tinted visor as adrenaline injects hyperventilation, which it would do. Signal speaker phoned and shortwave broadcast by solar radiation dynamite. Dynamite's the call. Oh, anxious times, yeah. Beautifully, beautifully written, and thank you so much, too.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Iris Rose, what did you think?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I love the word choices and the language, the diction here, and it was just, it just kept coming and coming and coming, and it's like so creative and refreshing, and you know that sometimes you can get that out of word banks and abstract prompts, and I think this was just really well done, very well done.
Great comment, thank you, Katie. And you read it, Laurent. What did you think?
It was a little abstract at first. I couldn't figure out where it was going or why it was written in the style that it was, but I can see that written in a word bank, what Buddha did was clever with the way he built the piece. He built it essentially without typical rhythm, kind of allowing him to slot in a word easily without having to worry about how he should use it. It's there, and it fits, and it's tucked in, and it's comfortable. So that kind of explains the way I read the piece, because I wasn't too sure where the rhythm was, but it was not intended, I think, to have a normal rhythm. Or if it did, I missed it entirely. Either way, I agree with the former comments. It was a very creative piece, very interesting, and sophisticated as well. Nicely done, Buddha. So,
thank you, Bart. Great comment. All right, Katie, what do we have next?
And next we have Pity the Fool by Agrisman. And Irish, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Pity the Fool by Agrisman. Begin poem. Loneliness pulled back the covers as I shuddered from the cold. No look of relief as I pound the pillow. Light creeps through, flashing me in today. The bathroom mirror is unkind and shows my eyes as wounds, framing a face with worry. Another day goes by without shaving, goes forming to punch at the hate that wears my face. I'm caught in obligation, tedious echoes of a life that was never lived, and dreams that ate figments. Days turn to weeks, weeks to years. I continue to fantasize about a love that will never hold me, share warmth, envelop me, make me whole. As age sets in, I am nothing more than a job with a place to go, a paycheck to sustain stupidity. Checking the other box on the payment plan, hacking my thoughts in pixels. It's easy for others to give advice, to do this, do that, You need to stop working two jobs. But I continue, not because I love what I do, but because it fills the day and keeps me busy from being all alone. My body and mind are breaking as I drone on. The crash will happen. Rubbernecks will slow down to view slowing down others for only minutes, minute minutes. Geez, that's a bad one, Martha, said nobody. End poem.
Wow, wonderful read. And, you know, this speaks wholly of depression, you know, overtaking your life and, you know, leaving you on this droneless path that, or droneful path that is all-encompassing. You know, you are haunted by what you see in the mirror. You know, your eyes are wounds that are framed by, worry. And another day goes by without shaving. You know, you just want to punch the mirror at the hate that wears your face. Such a powerful write on the subject of depression and what the people that suffer that go through on a daily basis. So a fantastic write, Agrisman, and thank you for sharing. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I agree with you. What a horrible feeling that must be to be so. I mean, you know things are getting bad when you, when, you know, personal hygiene is a thing of the past. That's when you know there's a worry there. I wouldn't like ever to be depressed. It sounds awful. And the thing is, it's your own body fighting you. You know, it's not producing what it should to keep you on an even keel. And again, I'll say this, I have said it before, I hope not boring, but when you have an injury, people can see it and you get sympathy and understanding. But when it's something that's in your own body that's causing you the problems, nobody can see that, so nobody can understand how it feels. Yeah, it must be awful. It really must. But I'm a little bit luckier now, I suppose, that we do have treatments that can help. But like everything, that's not man-made, every pill, for everything it helps, is another thing that comes along with it that also gives you a problem. So you have these side effects that you have to then have another tablet for. And I'm talking from experience here, by the way. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Terrible, but a really beautifully written work. Really is just it's raw, and you can feel the pain and anger. Anger is a good thing when you're fighting something like this, because it gives you that a little bit of adrenaline to try and jumpstart your day, as it were. Yeah, very well done, and I really thought it was cleverly written.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Weaver. And Laurent, what did you think?
Powerful piece. It's good to see something by Agrisman again. I love the stance of the mirror. The bathroom mirror is unkind and shows my eyes as wounds, framing a face with worry. Another day goes by without shaving, knuckles forming to punch at the hate that wears my face. Self-hate, self-love, which is absent in so many of these cases. It really opens my eyes, at least, to the depths of darkness and anxiety and worry and doubt, all forming depression that you mentioned previously. I am nothing more than a job with a place to go. A paycheck to sustain stupidity. As the person who doubts himself to the extreme, even down to the meaninglessness of whatever he does for a job. And when it extends to your job, it really, you know, there's jobs for many people to find who they are. Mm-hmm. But when that goes, you know, it gets worse and worse and worse. Well-written piece, really enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you for sharing, Laurent. And Irish Rose, you read it. What did you think?
Well, I really liked the refreshing rawness of it, you know. And he says a lot of things in here. I'm caught in obligation, tedious echoes of a life that was never lived. And he's caught in this reality. And that's the way I like the way he spins out the reality in his poem here. And then he comes to the reality of the hollow reality. It's easy for others to give advice, do this, do that, you need to stop working two jobs. But the big deal is he just wants diversion. He doesn't want to be all alone. And I thought, wow, isn't that a comment on today's society? Profound. Wow. At the end it says, geez, that's a bad one, Martha, said nobody. Going like, yeah, you're all alone. Wow.
Absolutely.
Really enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you, Irish. And thank you for reading. It was a wonderful read. All right, Katie, where are we to next?
And next we have Ginger by Teresa Schreckenhoff. And I will read this. Ginger. She had light, glossy, long, shiny, bright orange hair, flowing so freely with warm winds all around. We all that are from here call her Little Ginger. From her warm, soft appearance alone in itself, with tons of obedient brown small round fleckles on her soft skin smoothness, with her hair the colour of volcanic flaming fire, burning smoky red hot, the petrified prickly woods, large tall brown barked trees with green hair stretching to the sky. End poem.
Beautiful read, Katie. And I enjoyed it. You know, it's magnificent. You know, it's definitely encased the subject with such an adoration that, you know, most ginger people don't get. You know, they suffer torment and abuse for their hair color, and that's not done in this case. So I really enjoyed it a lot. So thank you for sharing, Teresa. Katie, what did you think?
I thought it was wonderful. I just don't, you know, it's a fight for Little Ginger people. I think it's terrible. I mean, good heavens, in our day and age, given the kind of racism and sexism we have, and we'd pick on somebody with ginger hair as well, what are we? We're barbaric is what we are. Honestly, just makes my blood boil. Good on him. I thought good on her. Good on her for making a comment about it, because it needs to be said. Leave ginger people alone, folks. Leave everybody alone, in fact. So, yes, brilliantly done. I really enjoyed it, Teresa. A little bit tongue-in-cheek, but wonderfully done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Irish, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm with Katie on that one. It is a little tongue-in-cheek, but I thought it was really done in a good spirit. And, yeah, leave them alone. They did nothing to you.
You're here.
You're here.
Absolutely. Great comment, Irish. Thank you. And Laurent, what are your thoughts?
I'm searching somewhere in this poem for what you guys see about ginger people getting disrespected, but I can't find it. Is that something outside of the poem, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Have you not, Laurent, you haven't heard about the comments that are made to ginger people? No?
No.
Oh, my God.
I like red hair. I've never run into anybody being pissed off because somebody's got red hair. Sorry?
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
It's you live in a wonderful
world.
Thing.
A lot more.
Wow. I had no idea it was a thing.
It is, yeah.
All right.
Ginger people suffer abuse because of the color of their hair.
I believe you. But it's just not in the poem. So, you know, I'm not even going to go in that direction. But to me, it just seems to be a beautifully lyrical brevity that applauds the charm and the appearance. Somebody that they call Little Ginger. I thought it was beautifully written. Got some great lines. With her hair the color of volcanic flaming fire, burning smoky red hot, petrified prickly woods, large tall brown bark trees, green air stretching in the sky. love the metaphor with the green hair, which kind of refers back to the shiny bright orange hair that she has, that we saw in the first line. It's very clever, very competent as well, well-written. The author bringing us right back to the beginning. Nicely done.
Thank you, Lord. Great comment. All right, Katie, where are we to next?
And next, we have Lake Placid by Versus Goliath. And Laurent, would you read this for us, please?
I'll be happy to.
Thank you.
Lake Placid. Settle up for a little adventure. Paddle stock for river crossing, prattling on about silvery lures. Cattails rock and breeze as frogs sing. Buzzing insects inspect incoming fishermen. Fuzzy critters crawl through tall grass. Flush birds call at the upcoming dark's end. Lazy ducks quack, floating on star glass. First line cast for the day. Now patience reigns. Thirsty campers sip coffee. Its steam rises, dispersed gas illuminated in purple residence. Radiance, first lips pressed to top. Bearded man stop. End quote.
Wonderful read, Lauren. And, you know, this paints a beautiful picture of the day on Lake Placid. You know, saddle up for a little adventure, paddle stock for river crossing, paddling on about silver lures, cattails rock and breeze as frogs sing. And then, you know, you can just feel the nature surrounding you in this right. You know, it's just a beautiful word painting of a beautiful day. So thank you for sharing, Versus, and an excellent read on it. Katie, what did you think?
Yes, isn't it? It was a beautiful depiction of a wonderful day out. I love fishing, but I love fly fishing because you never know what you're going to catch. I generally catch bushes or people's jackets, but not very often do I get the fish. But it's still fun, so I can understand how much you enjoy sitting there on a lovely day listening to the creatures and nature around you. It's a reflective, you know, you wouldn't say that about many sports, but it's a reflective sport because you have so much time just to sit. You're not supposed to speak. You're supposed to be quiet. Wonderful. I would think that would be wonderful. Beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. I just wanted to say when you said fly fishing, you reminded me of when I took my grandfather's fly fishing pole, attached a Red Devil lure with a treble hook to it, and I was casting that. And it got stuck in the grass behind me quite a few times. So, you know, I pulled at it and it would release. But one time it wouldn't release and the neighbors started yelling, "Pulling, stop pulling." And it was attached to my head, the lure was. I had to go to the hospital to get it removed. So that was just a memory came up when you said fly fishing. So thank you for sharing, Katie. And Irish, what did you think?
Oh, that just gave me such an image, that last one, you know, and the lure stuck in your head.
Yeah.
I really thought this was a nice, fun summer type of poem, and, you know, had all the right words that would remind you of all those fun things that you do in the summer. And, yeah, it was a nice day. Was had by all. Enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. Thank you, Irish. And Laurent, what did you think?
Well, I think this is a poem not about a specific place. I mean, I went to college up in Lake Placid, Mount Saranac Lake, which is right next to it. So I was all set for a poem about a place I know very well. I think this is about fishing and the fact that fishing is the ultimate goal, because when you're fishing, you're at peace. You're at peace with yourself. You're at peace with nature. So any place that you go to fish is going to be like Placid. So it was very well written.
Great comment. Thank you, Laurent. Okay, Katie, what do we have next?
And next up we have Bamboo Rust on a River by Bardwick Back. That sounds very Welsh to me. Wonderful name. And Laurent, would you read this for us, please?
Bardley Back, yeah. He is one great writer, like many of the poets that we read here. Here we go. Ready, baby. Bamboo Raft on a River. Can you hear the constant gushing of a weir or smell the shiny gloss and drop of distant rain? Feel your heartbeat. Feel your heartbeat break across the water's edge. Cattle bells that clang and jostle down a cobbled lane. Wefts of dragon wings warped with thunder in the cloud. Ethereal echoes etched on an idle brain. Listen to the bamboo fetcher's whisper in God's ear. Bridge of sighs stretch up to catch its stunning bride. But sit a while longer, our somber canvas, be river of moonlight opal painted on a mountainside. What is beauty without the breath of life, and life without the common air we breathe? Beauty without love, ephemeral as an empty beat beneath raids and tranquil winter waters leave. On rafts, wit and fortune, fisherman and comrade go. Silhouette of moonlight shadows ebb and flow. In hills of sunken jade, the misty face of absence grow. That seamless, grand old fellowship of dawn, conceive again. Sit a while longer, humble kingdom be. These days composed of lovers and nights by lovers meet. End poem.
Beautiful read, and I really enjoyed it. You know, he has an amazing author's notes that's longer than the poem, so I won't get into it. But it's definitely, you know, you can feel all this as you read through it. You know, you can feel the smell, the shiny gloss of a drop of distant rain, or feel your heart break across the water's edge, cattle bells that clang and jostle down a cobbled lane. You know, you can picture all that as you read it, and I thought it was just very poetic and deeply engaging, right? But sit a while longer, our humble kingdom be, these days composed of lovers and nights by lovers leave. Just very poetic and deeply powerfully engaging. Great read, Lauren. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, this was very well written. You start off with the sound of the water, distant rain, and the ethereal echoes etched upon an idle brain. Beautifully written. But I do love that second stanza. I won't read the whole thing, but obviously. But what is beauty without the breath of life, and life without the common air we breathe? Beauty without love ephemeral as an empty beat beneath reeds and tranquil winter waters weave. Just lovely. Very, you know, and the alliteration is not sort of like too much air in your face, too much of it. It's just perfect for that, you know, for keeping that cadence as you read it. Lovely. I really enjoyed that. Thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Iris Rose, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I really love the imagery in this, and how he was able to keep the smell or the aura or the feeling of the Orient so cleverly built within the lines. And I thought this was just brilliant. Listen to the bamboo fetchers whisper in God's ears. Bridge of sighs stretch up to catch its stunning bride. But sit a while longer. Our somber canvas be, river of moonlight opal painted on a mountainside. And it's just, I think it really has got a lot of subtlety to it, but a lot of incredible imagery, and very well understated, but still deep. Oh, I liked it.
Great comment. Thank you, Irish. And Laurent, what are your thoughts?
Wow, I really like the piece. And you're right, the AN is always either as long or longer than the poem, but you get so much from it, and you learn mm-hmm. what's going on, because you can't make too many assumptions about what he writes, and apparently this is a prologue to a longer piece. I thought it was simply beautiful.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Laura. Okay, Katie, what do we have next?
Next we have Ink-Filled. Oh, okay, Ink-Filled. And I wonder if you could read this for us, Irish, please.
Okay, let me get there. Ink-Filled. Ink-Filled Sea by Poet Traveler. Begins home. Ink-Filled Sea. Quill surfing by on waves of rhyme. Prose ship, wordy, arrives. Blank verse bow, free verse stern. Vowels rippling off the anchor chain. Consonant porters stand by adjective grain. Cargo of unrhymed verbs ready to be unloaded. Lines muster, waiting for muse master's inspection. End poem.
Beautiful read, Irish. And I really enjoyed the write. You know, it speaks so much on poetry, you know, with prose and reverse and consonant porter stand by adjective crane. You know, it really captures poetry in a wonderful setting. It was Ink-Filled Sea, so I thought it was a wonderful write and a very well read Irish. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Poet mm-hmm. Traveler. I mean, Weaver, what did you think?
Neil Weaver.
Thank you. Oh dear.
<It's> just...
You missed it. I was being so clever, and I was being so erudite, and I was just floating on a sea of descriptive whatever it was I was doing. You've missed it now. I'm just gonna have to be boring again. Anyway, I thought it was I'm so annoyed when I do that. It bugs me. Yes. So it was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. I mean, the word pictures, it was just clever. Blank verse bow, free verse stern. Vowels rippling off the anchor chain. Consonant porters stand by adjective crane. Oh, yes. Very good. Very, very good. I do love witty people. And this is a witty person. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Poet Traveler.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. And Laurent, what are your thoughts?
I like the shape of this. It seems to reflect the last line, lines muster, waiting for muse master's inspection. Now, when the troops line up for inspection, everything is nice and neat in rows, shiny uniforms, everybody's the same, everybody's obedient. That's kind of what you have here with the shape of the piece, all the words lined up for muse master's inspection. Very nicely done. I like the metaphor.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Irish Rose, you read it. What did you think?
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Lines muster waiting for muse master's inspection. Gee, I wish that's the way it was. Yeah, it was a really fun poem. It was really fun, tongue-in-cheek, and I liked the wittiness to it. It was very enjoyable.
Great comment. Thank you, Irish. All right, Weaver, where are we to next?
And next we have Nai Hoa, Hail, Nai Hail by Bill Schiller. And Gray, would you read this for us, please?
Sure. Nai Hail. Sesame seed oil heating in walks, scents of jasmine, incense streaming from shop, dragon figurines for sale, fish head stew in pots, local acupuncturist on the corner, firecracker in an alley as paper lanterns float, satin shoes, kimono coats, ivory mortars and pestles, herb ground to entice, custom chopsticks, bonsai, rice by the pound, like puzzle that entertains. The pieces all came together, walking around Chinatown in rainy weather and poem. I enjoyed that. That was very engaging. You know, it really pulls you into the scent and smell of Chinatown and all the scenes that are portrayed there. So just a beautiful write and a fabulous, fabulous, engaging read. What did you think, Katie?
I thought this was beautiful. So much to grab hold of. And it's a pity we don't actually have the picture that he penned this to, because it says in his AN, 11 lines for picture prompt. Ah, well, we can imagine what it must have had. But, oh, I mean, I really want to go there. I really do. My oldest daughter's traveled all around everywhere, and she was there and loved every minute of it. So it must be so good. Then you have the first few lines which set it all up. Sesame seed oil heating in woks. Scents of jasmine incense steaming from shops. Dragon figurines for sale. Fish head stew in pots. Local acupuncturist on the corner. Oh, my goodness me. All life is here, as they say, and I want to be where all life is. Beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing, Bill. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you, Katie. Great comment. And Irish, what did you think?
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed the creative aspect in this poem. It was very well done and clever.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. I mean, thank you, Katie. And Laurent, what did you think?
I like the piece a great deal. I like what you said about it, all the little images and things that you might run across when you go to Chinatown. And he does it in a very poetic way. And everything from the sense of jasmine to the dragon figurines to fish heads that stew in pots. I never could get past the visual of a pot filled with fish heads. All those eyes staring lifelessly back at you. How can you eat some of it? At any rate, I like the piece of bacon.
The eyes are the best part.
Oh, so, don't even say that. Yeah.
They'll see you through the week.
yeah.
You
no,
should
I mean,
be
yeah,
ashamed of yourself as that one.
I know.
We have
I
a
am.
Chinatown here in Vancouver that's pretty amazing. You know, it really is quite as captured in this description, you know, powerful, heady experience. So I remember going to Sun Yat-sun Gardens in Vancouver with my mom when we first came out here. And it was a wonderful experience, you know. It's definitely immersive in another culture when you visit Chinatown. So I thought he captured that quite beautifully. Thank you for all your wonderful comments. All right, Katie, where are we to next?
Well, next we have Jump by S. Sharp. And there is a SoundCloud for this, Gray, if you would be so kind.
I will play it.
Jump. The steel cliffs tempt fire burning and iron gall ink. Cold fever burns pages. Shackled to chains of imagery. Mother Earth feeds Mother Time, nurturing children, starving, threadbare in thought, insolvent to the shared pool of intellect. Their imagination stands on the ledge overlooking a city street, afraid to jump. As a crowd gathers 10 stories below, murmuring, whispering, while line after line unravels like patience until the crowd starts to chant, jump, 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 and the poet jumps, plunging into the arms of a hungry crowd, foaming at the mouth, hungry for blood, carrying knives, guns, and nooses, living and dying, hanging on every word.
Well, what a fantastic SoundCloud. You did an excellent job reading that. But, you know, he says in his author's notes that it's to a prompt number 5. Poetry began in the matriarchal age and derives its magic from the moon, not from the sun. No poet can hope to understand the nature of poetry unless he has had a vision of the naked king crucified to the lopped oak and watched the dancers, red-eyed from the acrid smoke of sacrificial fires, stamping out a measure of the dance, their bodies bent uncouthly forward with a monotonous chant of kill, 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 and blood, blood, blood. So I thought he did a wonderful take on the prompt. You know, he really captures the whole essence of that scene. And, steel cliffs tempt fire burning in iron gall ink. Cold fever burns pages shackled to chains with imagery. Mother Earth feeds, Mother Time, nurturing children, starving, threadbare in thought, insolvent to the shared pool of intellect. Their imagination stands on the ledge, overlooking the city street. Just a wonderful poetic verse there. And I thought it was just a beautiful read as well. What are your thoughts, Katie?
Oh, yes, my goodness me. I love things that make me think or teach me something. And this is just lovely. It really is. Not lovely in the fact that people want other people to jump to their death. Don't get me wrong, that's not what I call pleasant, but it's certainly well written and so much vividness. It's, it does jump out at you. It's aptly named. Plunging into the arms of a hungry crowd, foaming at the mouth, hungry for blood, carrying knives, guns and nooses, living and dying. And I love that last three lines. So clever, hanging on every word. Well done. Yes, I really enjoyed it. S sharp. Thank you for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Irish Rose, what are your thoughts?
Wow, I think this is a very arresting imagery. I will use that word, arresting for sure. It really does the job of, you know, assaulting your sensibilities about what you're viewing as the reader, as the participant. Now you're the participant in the poetry, so it really takes on a different kind of and it gives you a different kind of, I don't know, feeling as you hear these people, you know, saying jump, 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 and it's crazy. So I thought it was very well done, and gives you some screwed up feelings. Good job.
Great comment. Thank you, Irish. And Laurent, what did you think?
Sorry, I was on mute. Beg your pardon. I really like the language in this. The steel cliffs tempt fire burning in iron gall ink. That's lovely phrasing. I like Mother Earth feeds Mother Time, nurturing children, starving, threadbare in thought, insolvent to the shared pool of intellect as well.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why it is the poet who always has to jump, consumed by the hungry crowd. The metaphors of hungry for blood, carrying knives, guns, and nooses, living and dying, hanging on every word is very apt. The phrasing and metaphors and images in a poem can literally bring about that kind of a hunger for blood, but metaphorically. And the carrying knives and guns and nooses, beware, Mr. Poet, if it's not up to snuff, because you'll then be in trouble. But in the meantime, it's good they hang on every word. And this is very clever, very interesting book.
Absolutely. Great comment, Laura. Thank you. All right, Katie, what do we have next?
Well, we're going to have one more front page pick, and then we're going to go on to open poetry. So we have next My Heart's Pitch by Duke of STP Dexter Bailey, and I will quote this one. My Heart's Pitch. My heart strums a sour note, like the scream of a dying goat. No melody inside of a broken home, my trained ears endure the most. tighten one string, loosen another, the give and take of life discovered, in the perfect picture of two lovers, a beautiful sacrifice, a half to suffer. Somehow love turned to a struggle. I hear a guitar in the distance, muffled, playing a song I long for, the missing piece to my puzzle. Trouble is the title and the artist leaves me befuddled. The song is coming to a close. You're leaving, a decision already chose. Just me and a guitar that only plays sour notes. And the thought of my favorite tune, the song I will never know. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Katie. And, you know, I enjoyed the poem. You know, it's my heart strums a sour note like the scream of a dying goat. No melody inside of a broken home. My trained ears endure the most. You know, that's haunting, first stanza. And then the penultimate stanza. The song is coming to a close. You're leaving, a decision already chose. Just me and a guitar that plays only sour notes. And the thoughts of my favorite tune, a song I will never know. Just a haunting poem, you know. It's definitely pain-filled and dark, you know. It's very sad, but it's also engaging as well. I enjoyed it, you know. It was definitely well written. It speaks to Dexter himself, and I thought it was a wonderful poem, and very well read as well. So thank you so much for sharing. And what are your thoughts, Irish?
Yeah, I thought it was very well done, and I enjoyed it.
Thank you for sharing. And Laurent, what are your thoughts?
My heart's pitch, sound the heart makes, not always a pleasant one, but generally it is. But if you need a little something for the tune that your heart wants to play, and you find it, that's a wonderful thing. But if that thing that you seek and like so much is coming from a source that puzzles you, that you can't really relate to for some reason, then it's not going to be what you need. It's not going to be what you want. As he says, playing a song I long for, the missing piece of my puzzle, trouble is the title and the artist leaves me befuddled. That is cleverly done. Great piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Laura. And Irish Rose, what did you think? Oh, sorry, I already got you, didn't I?
Right, uh-huh.
Yeah. Weaver, what did you think?
Yes. It was sad. And I don't like sad. My heart strums a sour note like the scream of a dying goat. No melody inside of a broken home, my trained ears endure the most. Yes, it's full of it. When you say just me and a guitar that only plays sour notes, you know that it's not a happy place to be. But it sounds like the song is coming to a close, so maybe things will change, maybe things will get better, and it won't fall apart. I genuinely hope so. I hope everything is wonderful in a wonderful world. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Dex. I really enjoyed it.
Excellent comment. Thank you. All right. So I guess we'll put up Irish Rose's poem.
Yes, I have that here. Ready to go. I was just going to... Yeah, The Fragrance of Spring by Irish Rose. Would you care to go ahead and read that for us, please?
Thank you. Begin poem, The Fragrance of Spring by Irish Rose. Spring, my soul breathes in the sweet smells of youngest grain that pushes up from the earth, deliberately stirring my thoughts in the mixing cauldron of life, assaulting my nose, ears, and eyes, remembering that life's hypnotic and intoxicating dance that sings. I'm reminded of younger former days and that striving being, spring. An early moving breeze carries a crazy sweetness rising high aloft. Grapevines bloom, bees violate anthers recklessly, ball was released, a climax of pollen's dusty sexuality, violating virgin flowers with glee, an orgy of life's virility, male, female, vines and bees, ecstatic release, captured in wine's blooming depths of love's raw golden soliloquy. A harbinger to summer's heated passions filled with pregnant dreams, life incubating in its warmest spots, creatively blooming bulbously, brown globes encased in stored up sunbeams of red Merlot fantasies, thriving flesh slowly swelling and increasing with passion sweet heat, as I affectionately recall life's hot sting and the fragrance of spring. In poem.
Beautiful read, and I really love the poem. You know, it speaks to spring and, you know, the creation of life that exists in that time period, and then the summer birthing that the pregnancy of life, and I really enjoyed your wine metaphors as well. Just a beautiful write and a fabulous read. So thank you for sharing that, Irish.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Weaver, what did you think?
She's shy. She's just a little shy.
Oh, my goodness me. Oh, you can tell it's 5 minutes past 4 a.m., can't you? Wow. Like, if I fall asleep, just shout loudly. Okay. I'm so sorry, Irish. That was terrible. I do apologize. Awful. Anyway, as I was saying, and I have already said, deja vu, it is a lovely poem. I love the fact that it's about spring, which I think is maybe not, you know, summer wonderful, winter test you, but spring, here we are, it's coming, life is becoming booming again, and everything is moving towards that crazy summer. So I thought it was beautifully written. I particularly like that last line, as I affectionately call life's hot sting and the fragrance of spring. Beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
As I affectionately recall life's hot sting and the fragrance of spring, I love his take on spring's passion, its growth, and its life. Grapevines bloom, bees violate anthers recklessly, flowers release a climax of pollen's dusty sexuality, violating virgin flowers with glee, an orgy of life's virility, male, female vines and bees, ecstatic relief. Wen really paints a vivid picture. It's a life force of words exquisitely presented, ready for planting in our own private gardens. I love the emotion of this, the images and word choices, which were intrinsically organic and hopeful, even slightly sensual. Congratulations on your front page break, Gwen.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, so can we get Lawrence up now, please?
Oh, your wish is my command. Just give me a moment.
Yes, thank you.
I'm just going to find it.
It's going to be the last one, I think.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. It's like fly fishing for me, this. Am I going to get something? No, I'm not. Right, here we have yours, Laurent. As constant.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
As constant. This morning, I found myself painting ribbons across the sky. And for the life of me, never understanding why, perhaps it's calm, a sweet surcease for my voices of doubt, this lesson without increase. Foibles and flaws, which I once concealed with care, are now laid down under an open sky, no longer hidden, but on display. Death's grip is elongated, weak at its onset, tightening with time, until at the end of the end, that grip finally achieves its maximum, pinching us off, a dead flower in the midst of healthy blooms. I am perhaps at the beginning, the end, like a child fascinated with myriad small crawling things of life. Speaking to the ants may seem odd. They deserve it on the basis of sheer industry, an acknowledgement of their societal triumph, where common means justify common ends. The mind be a common end, a gentle passing into the fog of tomorrow, whose sun will rise without me. The human canvas is a constant, washed repeatedly clean by time. I measure time by aches and pains, joys and fears, life and death, by each strand of hair that abandons its color. We jettison youth slowly, each day aging insinuates, however slightly. Death's knell peals but once, yielding an unremitting echo in the fading light of last moments. Only the mother sun, adorned in yellow fire, and lover moon, dressed in black velvet and stars, are as end poem.
Beautiful read. Right. And such a powerful poem on the subject of life fading and, you know, the moon and sun still shining as a constant. I really enjoyed your take on the process of slowly dying and death rip pinching us off as the bloom is in full. So I thought it was a beautiful write and totally engaging throughout. So great job, Warrant. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Gray.
Absolutely. Katie, what did you think?
Yes, it was beautifully read and so interesting. I look into the future and how it must feel to get to that point in your life where, you know, it's death grip is elongated, weak at its onset, tightening with time. There you are. That's it said in just those three lines. All of it is there. Unfortunately, we are never going to be able to accept that final grip. We're always going to try in any way we can, I think, to fight against it. And it's futile. It's a futile waste of time. Just enjoy what you have, I think. But I do. I really enjoyed this, and I thought it was very well written. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that wonderful comment, Katie. And Irish Rose, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this write. I particularly liked the imagery that he used to describe the familiar scenes of the common and ordinary day variety. That, you know, that catches the attention as if it's held by a hook, and you can kind of look at your life suspended above you, maybe like above a dancing floor or something like that, and all these different facets and points of view of whatever that could lead you to. And I thought it was profound in that way. And I liked that metaphor, the way it played out in the rest of the poem. I thought it was very well done.
Thank you.
Comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Irish Rose. Excellent comment. All right, Katie, can we get Ben Harps up?
Okay. We'll do that. Just give me a moment. Night further up. I'm just going for a wander with you soon. You might have to take a picnic with me, but
it's up at the top of the list.
I've got it. Oh no, that's not him. Wow. Okay, we got it. This one has a SoundCloud. And oh no, it's the wrong one, sorry. I apologize. I can read, you know. I really can. You wouldn't believe it from this palaver, but I can. I can't fight him.
I'll put it up. That's okay.
Thank you. Oh no, I've got it.
You already said that.
Okay, it's up.
I'm sorry. Oh, it is up. Thank you. Okay, we've got that. And Laurent, would you care to read for us, please?
Yes.
Has it got a SoundCloud?
Thank you very much.
No, there isn't a SoundCloud for it.
No, okay. Thank you.
You're confusing me.
Me, believe me, me too. I'm totally confused.
Oh, yeah, Ben-Hart, of course. The Pilgrimage, Northern Netherlands. June 6th was a Tuesday. But to me, for the first time in a while, it wasn't something to get over, something to live in. One, Naomi, our hatchback Peter Pan, takes us across Northern Netherlands. Frisian lost boys, don't you understand? The adventure never has to end. We'll just drive around forever, and we won't mind stopping 5 times a day so we can pray if we want to, have a smoke. Dario screaming, we don't fucking care because we'll always be there, but we're never coming back to this fucked up world our parents broke. You already took our youth. You'll never have our soul. Burn it all, burn it all, burn it all. We'll be long gone. One Frisian lost boy in the front, one right behind the hatchback Peter Pan, with the chef de cuisine. BB in black, safe in between, all screaming, we don't fucking care, because we're never coming back to our own fucking beats. Wait for the drop. You're welcome to see all that we're made of and all we are destined to be. Are you ready? No surrender, no defeats. Salvation, it's the hero dying in the arms of the enemy, and seeing in their eyes not victory, defeat reflected, but respect and the fact that though they must be going, the fight will live on. And they, who only, when laying the one they were fighting, to rest upon the hollow floor, will understand it was really them that in the end they were fighting for. That all will be well for those that fell, those that shot them down, and those who helped them gently to the ground. Gentlemen, it's done. The age of armistice has come. Breach the gates of hell. So many more brothers may go home or build one and settle their debts with love. Know that wherever you roam, it's never your own. Your country's or God's. The earth belongs to no one but herself. Architects are stars. It's not a lonely galaxy when you choose to see the emptiness as somewhere else to be, the god of your own fantasy. When you never again let anyone tell you where you are, in your heart or lost in dark, because only you know how far you've left to go. Back to the ends of your ribs, the beat of your heart, the theater of touch that is your skin, and the men scrambling to get on stage, some to heal and hold, fighting those that came to ache. Back to a place that does not induce anxiety when they call your name, where you're not running through the motions, just breathing away. And my beloved human beings, who do not know they are the war, and so too the peace. These are not mystical nothings. These are the only days of your life. Only you can say, this is the day the revolution begins, that I start moving mountains again, and I shall only relent when the strength leaves my limbs. Do not spend one more step defending decay. Make something no one else could make. Because if you just build it, gain or hate, they will visit. But if for love, you will live it. They will call it a pilgrimage. But it will be a fucking crusade. I'll be there. I'll never leave. Partly for love. Partly because I know no other way to be. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lawrence. And what a deeply powerful poem, you know. It speaks to the Frisian Lost Boys, you know, and I'm not too sure what that is, but relating to Frisa or Friesland, it's people or language. And so I'm not too sure what that, statement means, but you already took our youth, but you'll never have our soul. Burn it all, burn it all. We'll be long gone. And then, I really enjoyed the whole rite throughout. You know, it was definitely a journey, a trip through life and war and coming home and finding love. And, they couldn't take it all. So you still have love, which is a wonderful rite. You know, it speaks to surviving the strife of life and coming through the other side with a smile on your face, which I think that is represented in his picture that he's posted with his poem. It shows a silhouette of a man with a smiley face on his head. So I thought it was just a wonderful write, deeply fascinating throughout, and an excellent share. So thank you for sharing, Ben. What are your thoughts, Katie?
Oh, yes, this is, this is deep. You're perfectly correct in that. I don't think we're ever going to get to the point in our lives or our future where there won't be fighting and wars. And you have to what? You have to just join in, get shot at and fall down, and that's you. Gently to the ground, gentlemen, it's done. The age of armistice has come. I really hope so. Breach the gates of hell so many more brothers may go home or build one and settle their debts with love. Yeah, that would be great. As I say, beautifully written, very clever, very deep, and just easy to read because there's nothing that can trip you up. It was a long poem, but it was beautifully done. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Irish Rose, what are your thoughts?
On mute, my dear.
Oh, I think she has dropped. Yeah, it appears so. Lauren, what are your thoughts?
Well, bravo, bravo. This is one hell of a poem. It is filled with so much of a tone of bitterness, if you will, defiance, standing up straight as a youth that feels that perhaps it has been managed and guided and steered and drafted and sent to war. Youth is picked on in that way. You're just strong enough to be able to do the things the belly at middle age no longer is able to accommodate. So they're the ones that get sent to war, and the others sit at home, deepening their fingers and counting their cash, so to speak. The things that happen to us in life, and this is filled with them, is presented in a way that is so engaging. I love reading this stuff because you never quite know where he's going to come from, but when he comes at you, he comes strong, hits you with images, the metaphors. They bite deep. And he just doesn't talk about life. He talks about what it takes to live it, you know, how to survive life, and how to find yourself and like what you find, perhaps love what you find. He speaks of life as a journey. place to run away from reality, which is ironic, I think, because you are the reality. It's, as usual, a work with depth and many ways of interpretation, but it's really, I don't want to say it's a picture. It could be. It strikes me as something very special. Great job.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Laurent. All right, Katie, where would you next?
Well, where would you like me to go next? I was going to put up either.
Careful.
I was going to put
up
either Thunder and Love, I Hope So, or we could have Frank's with a sound clip. Which one would you prefer?
Let's go with Frank's.
Okay. No problem. Coming up now. Okay, we have The Strange Case of Mr. Valdemar by Poetic Baccato with a sound cloud.
My attention for the last 3 years has been repeatedly drawn to the subject of mesmerism. And about 9 months ago, it occurred to me quite suddenly that in a series of experiments made hitherto, there had been a very remarkable and most unaccountable admission. No person had as yet been mesmerized in articulo mortis till I met Mr. Valdemar. The subject that partook in my experiment was rather intellectual, but he was also a hypochondriac man obsessed with lingering death. This was an ominous sign of a troubled man facing his dark demons in a certain heightened state of trepidation and consternation. I had decided through the mechanism, a hypnosis, to unravel the secret, to the mystery that had bounded me, to the patient's deplorable condition. I was willing to explore beyond the parameters of human comprehension, not knowing that these boundaries were full of an irreversible return. Steadfastly and so meticulously, I had proceeded with the hypnosis, but death was lurking behind the spooky draperies of the opaque room, but the subject had entered deeply to a powerful trance and left him asleep. For 7 whole months, till he awoke from the chasm of his phantasmagoria. He felt a pulse, halt beat, the perceptible breathing, his skin was cold and pale, his throat and tongue tried to utter words, but his taut lips and jaws were frozen within the agonizing clutch of demise. As his solid body melted away to the ashen ore of dripping liquid, that had remained of Mr. Valdemar. For God's sake, quick! Quick, put me to sleep. Oh, quick, waken me. Quick, I say to you that I am dead. No, no.
Theatrical was that, Reed? You know, it really take you through this journey that this person went on. You know, my attention for the last 3 years had been repeatedly drawn to the subject of mesmerism, and about 9 months ago it occurred to me quite suddenly that in a series of experiments made hitherto, there had been a remarkable and almost and most unaccountable omission. No person has yet been mesmerized in articulo mortis until I met Mr. Valdemar. A fascinating tale of life and death and being trapped in a chasm of phantasmagoria, without a pulsing heartbeat or perceptible breathing, his skin cold and pale, his throat, tongue tried to utter words, but his taut lips and jaws were frozen with the agonizing clutch of demise as his solid body melted away into the ashen horror of dripping liquid that had remained of Mr. Voldemort. Yeah, a fascinating poem. Beautifully read, Frank. Thank you for sharing. And Weaver, what did you think?
Well, I have said before, you need to warn me when you're going to scare the bejesus out of me. Those last few words, oh my goodness me. Yes, so much put into this and so well read. An enjoyable bit of darkness. And you know I like my darkness. And I like the fact that you had gone to, I had decided through the mechanism of hypnosis to unravel the secret to the mystery that had bounded me to the patient's deplorable condition. And I was willing to explore beyond the parameters of human comprehension, not knowing that these boundaries were full of an irreversible return. Oh, my goodness. Very well done. And I did like this creepy dark read. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Lauren, are you back yet? No, he is not. Okay, Weaver, let's go to Hope Soul next.
So here we have Thunder and Love by Hope Soul. Give me a moment, I need a little sip. I'm going to read this one. Thunder and Love by Hope Soul. At night my bed howls and keeps me up way past the hour a woman should be awake, creaking and complaining, asking when will your thunder roll through these lilac sheets again. As I lie here with my hand on my belly, surrounded by shams on a fluffy duvet and a small pillow I cradle in your absence, my mind brings me memories. You kept your word that you would make this nest miss our bodies every time I slept alone. Promises of touching every part of me with more than just hands and lips I remember. Dark hair with trickling grey rivers that ran between your fingers. Butterfly vows lay a Russian net draped with chaffron, handmade cathedral veins placed over braided Cherokee, hiding a face that swoons with blush only for you. With your thumb you circle the centre of my foot, staring deeply into hazelnut cinnamon eyes. They still hold your reflection. From early hours till noon, midday until twilight, our bodies would come together, becoming one. Moonlight skin, divine bone, ribs interlocking, sweet wine flowing. With each thrust, my spine spun a golden thread, the lassoed around your tailbone, solidifying a Gordian knot. Dipped in melted merlot wax, roping an unbreakable bond. This is what I wanted, but I wish to make love with you before you leave. I whisper on your neck, you say to me, and I'll never forget it as you place your hand on my waist, moving closer. If I liked it or not, each encounter was making love. Our tenderness shared at candlelight or under the roaring sun, not only in the heat between our vessels, but it was the moment you took my hand and placed it to your chest. The times I'd hold your embrace to find sleep. Each moment you looked to me and found peace. When our silence filled the space between breaths, the love we made was when the distance echoed our names. When you set sails across the strawberry skies, making your way to the land of milk and honey, finding your home in us. Romancing the stars, scattering crystal cosmic dust, within the clouds where light touches the softest parts. Sapphire blue to reddest of hues, this I know. Your hand holds all and more, also love for me. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And such a touching, right? You know, you can feel the passion and the connection that they have in this poem. You know, it really speaks to the title, Thunder and Love. You know, with at night my bed howls, keeps me up way past the hour. A woman should be awake, creaking and complaining, asking, when will your thunder roll through these lilac sheets of pain? As I lie here with my hand on my belly, surrounded by shams on a floppy duvet and a small pillow I cradle in your absence, my mind brings me memories, such beautiful memories they are. And I really felt the connection of love and passion in this rite. So excellent job, Hope. And what did you think, Weaver?
I thought it was lovely, as ever. I mean, she never fails to give us something that is full of love and full of feeling. And this was just that, thunder and love. And I love that first few lines. At night my bed howls and keeps me up way past the hour a woman should be awake, creaking and complaining, asking when will your thunder roll through these lilac sheets again. That's beautifully put, isn't it? I like it so much. And there is a lot of, it's sad because, you know, the person that you love is not there with you. And memory is a wonderful thing, but it can't take the place of a real body and real warmth. So I thought it was very nice, very, very sweet and loving. And I really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
Well, as ever, I like her forms. It really flows. Not that the visual is all that important, but it really seems to fit her words. And the words that she uses really are a great reflection of that, that first prompt, making love was never about you and me in bed. We made love whenever we held our hands. And yet it was quite a bit about you and me in bed, so to speak. Because prompt 12, it's 12 a.m. and I'm in nothing but thoughts of you. I couldn't help but be inspired by two. So many wonderful phrases within this. Our tenderness shared at candlelight or under the roaring sun, not only in the heat between our vessels, but it was the moment you took my hand and placed it on your chest. Again, reflection of those prompts, extremely well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. All right, Weaver, can we get Eric Benson's next?
Yes, just give me one moment. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously going the wrong way. Back down again.
Where you get that extra cup of coffee, dear?
Ah, dear, I need a nice pillow and a warm
just leave the libations out of it, right?
Oh, my goodness me. Eric Svensson. Oh, I got him. Mm-hmm. Have you heard? It's in the stars. Yeah, we're nearly there. And we have Eric's. And does it have a SoundCloud? I don't know.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Window period. The curl of the day collapses in front of staccato synapses. Where feathered seagull hurries to hunt hermit crabs between silvery low tide eddies. Convex thought shimmy shakes or lethargy. Crinkle cut ocean foil shimmers at day's end. Keen hands butterfly together in contemplation. Mind etches day's ritual tombstone moment. Charcoal traces sand tributaries well trodden. As dowager dusk spreads her shawl. Etch, sketch, fetch inspiration. Window period quickens ethereal light dissolves within seconds. The cool of the day fires up staccato synapses, two quick ghost-like feathered seagull scurry dissipates, sepia washed away between bleak eddies. End poem.
Wow, an amazing SoundCloud and a fascinating poem. You know, I really liked Etch Sketch, Fetch Inspiration, Window Period Quickens, Ethereal Light Dissolves Within Seconds. And I also like the imagery of the seagull scurry, you know, hunting crabs between silvery low tide ebbs. Just a fascinating poem, with filled with excellent imagery as well. So thank you so much for sharing that, Eric. Great job. And what did you think, Weaver?
As usual, a well-studied, well-read poem from Eric. I do like his alliteration. Oh my goodness. The curl of the day collapses in front of staccato synapses, where feathered seagull flurries, scurries, hurries to hunt hermit crabs between silvery low tide eddies. That's lovely. A day out crabbing. I would love that. I used to do that a lot in my youth. But this is just beautifully written and so well observed. Yeah, that last stanza. That was brilliant. Thank you very much.
Comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Laurent, what are your thoughts? Oh, I think we've lost Laurent. Yes, he's dropped. So it's just you and I, Weaver, to finish out the show. So
okay.
Thank you for commenting. And perhaps we could get Nuno's up next.
I haven't actually seen his, but give me a moment. I'll refresh again. Has he put it on recently? I didn't see it. Yeah, okay. Won't be a moment. We're back down on the line. Yeah, we got it. Here we are. And there we have it now. We have Happy Birthday, Hope, My Love by Nuno Cardoso. Would you care to read this for us, please, Gray?
Yeah, sure. Happy Birthday, My Love. Oh, sorry. Happy Birthday, Hope, My Love by Nuno Cardoso. I love you so deeply. Sometimes it's hard to know what I feel for you. I love you so deeply that at times I lose myself in the echoes of your moans. And I, without the mercy of a lover, thirst you with force and speed and deposit my pearl in your oyster. I love you so deeply, you have become my only goal. I love you so deeply that the song, Make Me Feel Like a Woman, should be rewritten and renamed to Make Me Feel Like a Man. I love you so deeply that sometimes I question the absence of butterflies in my stomach with the peace that you give me when you can put a stop to my manic state of mind. I love you so deeply that I've written you this poem, disregarding all the rules of my poetry, for no poem can sing poetry louder, if not a poem about my own truth. I love you so deeply that I've fallen in love with your offspring, even though I do not have a beard, I'm not as old as you would like me to be, but I'll still be the father of your children. I love you so deeply that this is the sexiest poem I've ever written for any woman, because I've never been the true and God-honest woman. Happy birthday, Hope, my maracuja. End poem. And I love it. You know, it's very loving, tributary, full of feelings and emotions, and the imagery was fantastic. I love you so deeply that I sometimes lose myself in echoes of your moans, and I, without the mercy of a lover, thirst you with force and speed and deposit my pearl in your oyster. Fantastic, right? And beautifully rewritten and presented. So thank you for sharing, Nuno. And what are your thoughts, Katie?
Oh, yes, this is lovely. Beautiful poem. and a lovely depiction of how that love is there surrounding them both. That picture is absolutely beautiful. Really, it's lovely. So heartfelt, so true and full of passion, full of love. And it is, it's, you know, this is something that everybody should feel, that kind of love. It's a different thing. I mean, soulmates, do we believe in soulmates? I think we do. I think you have to, because the evidence is there over and over that there is one person for everyone. Perhaps more than one person for everyone, but there is that one that's always going to be the other half of yourself. So yes, I thought it was beautifully written. And thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. All right. So let's go back to the front page picks then.
Mm-hmm. It's going up and up and up. Here we go. Mm-mm. Oh, yes, I am where I am here. That's good. Right. Here we have the next one is... I don't like silence, but we can't help it in this stage, going up and down these rights. Okay, we have Codex by Cabaletta. Codex Cabaletta by Luke J.R. And I will read this scene, how you read the last one. He returned to the world of wonders underneath the tallest branches. He found himself lost in flashes, eyes watering through the agony upon the forest of mahogany, where the figure stood taller than the trees, securely held on the figure's large knees. With every minute of tears wept through the leaves, he found himself upon the branches. He found himself deeper as he breathed, to which the red-blue hues emitted. There was a body to be submitted. The system knew nothing of this robin, while the family paid for him to have wings. The sisterly bond sung while heaven sings, to which the figure had faded, while the innocent had been defaced, to which the figure had carved upon the bloody leaves, Father. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, and, you know, such a powerful poem. It's very short, but full of imagery and emotions. You can feel the moroseness of it, you know. It says in its author's notes, beauty, memory, society, death, and family. And, you know, you can see all this as you read through it. The system knew nothing of this robin while the family prayed for him to have wings. The sisterly bond sung while heaven sings, to which the figure had faded, while the innocent had been defaced, to which the figure had carved upon the bloody leaves, Father. How haunting is that? Such an epic write and beautifully read. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, it was. It's full of feelings. And not nice feelings. Eyes watering through the agony upon the forest of mahogany. The figures too tall in trees, securely held in the figure's large knees. Yet this is somebody who has lost something in his life that he really needs. He needs someone. Even if it is a father figure, he needs someone to help him through all these things that he's not able to understand himself. Yes, I thought it was well done. I'm sorry, I'm reading this at the same time. Yeah, thank you. You disappeared.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Where are we to thank next, you. Weaver?
Yes, where we are next. Oh, we have this one. We have... Ah, yes. This is The Poet to the Wind by Sandra Lee. I'll read this one, shall I? It's Sandra Lee's. And we have said The Poet to the Wind. I place you between my first and fourth rib, closest to the heart of veneer trees, outskirting my old brick homestead, where your wailing voice has my sense of loss in its grip. From the river rock hill of my artistic courage, I'm surrendering to your mournful light noises beneath robes of black tissue sky, descending dawn, where I can't avoid falling stars, admittedly. I'm an internal environmentalist, solar eclipsing narrator, composing painful mountains under the milk of Mercury's light, the sun coming cheek against these acres. There's a truth in the warming April blanket, an emerald epiphany. Never vainglorious, your untamed movement here invoking me, watering me with grinning teardrops, letting me weep, low-hanging stratus over the skeletons I left behind. For wind you are, an incandescent, you are breaking birch, the breath among robins, amongst ghosts in my mouth, bird laws and flames, faithfully shedding winter skin, elevating my ave. If I let loose with you, am I wood smoke enough, or cloud-bearing, or even spirited enough? When my regrets bow their heads towards the heavens, like your purple arms lifting this spring-whitened prayer. End poem.
Beautiful read, and such fantastic imagery, you know. I placed you between my first and fourth rib, closest to the heart of Rainier trees, outskirting my old brick homestead, where your wailing voice has my sense of loss in its grip. From the river rock hill of my artistic courage, I'm surrendering to your mournful-like noises beneath robes of black tissue sky. And, you know, you can see all that, and you can feel it as well. It's very deeply powerful in its emotion and its visceral nature. So an excellent write, said the poet to the wind. Such a beautiful poem. What are your thoughts, Katie?
Yes, this is beautifully written. I love it. Nice little alliteration here and there, which is always nice. It got me when I got to. Obviously, any words that have... Oh, never mind. I'll ignore that. I didn't... I wasn't thinking through there. I'm trying to read it as I go, as I usually do. There's truth in the warming April blanket, emerald epiphany, never vainglorious, your untamed movements here, invoking me, watering me with grinning dear teardrops, letting me weep, low-hanging stratas over the skeletons I left behind. So yeah, there's a lot of this pain in this as well, and regret, but always thinking of the beauty that surrounds us, which it will always help. If you can do that, think about the more beautiful things in your life. So I enjoyed it very much. Thank you so much for sharing, Sandra.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right. So can we get one up from Mamya, please?
Oh, right. Give me a moment. Ignore that one that's up. One moment. I will be with you in a moment. Sorry about this.
Do, 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 do.
I know, do, I saw do, it. Do, 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 you need to sing our most favorite song. I know a song that will get on your nerves. Oh, my God. Yeah, my system's going haywire. If you can grab it, if you could, that would be great, because I'm so slow on this thing.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
You have. Good.
This is called I Write by Mamya. Bouncing voices against gray walls, tattooing words on hollow rocks, a head full of stargazer lilies, a page empty but for doodles, then tongue slash, bloody ink spills from engorged veins, third eye blinks, ringing from the pages, echoing in the space between distant stars. Come in, Major Tom. Visions swim in, thick trickles syrup, attracting headless flies that die after licking. Vuvuzela flowers, trumpet, an overture of allegory, but the fanfare dies on walk ears. The pen scratches on the muse's hems without Rorschach stains. Quick, call the augur. The weight stretches, only the void listens. And her prompt was, never used the word audience. The very idea of a public, unless the poet is writing for money, seems wrong to me. Poets don't have an audience. They're talking to a single person all the time. And I thought that was wonderful. You know, it speaks to why we write and how we write. You know, vision swimming, thick critical syrup attracting headless flies that lick after dying. Babuzella, flowers, trumpet, an overture of allegory, but the fanfare dies on walk ears. The pen scratches on muse's hems without rose arch stains. Quick, call the augur. The weight stretches, only the void listens. And augur means of an event or circumstance. Pretend a good or bad outcome. So, wow, such a fascinating poem. Deeply penned and well read. Great read. So thank you for sharing, Mamna. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, this is very clever. I do like that. Rorschach stains, now. Isn't that the thing that psychiatrists use? They have a whole batch of them and they hold them up to the person that they're examining and ask them to tell them what they think it looks like. That's kind of what I thought that was, yeah. And an augur, I always thought an augur was a person that came to give you the depth of their knowledge, but I'm probably wrong on that one. So it's interesting, very interesting. I do, and I love the come in Major Tom. That was great. The being in space, and then we have that come in Major Tom. Wonderful. So I enjoyed this a lot. I thought it was very clever. Thank you, Mamya. Well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. All right. Well, we've got 2 minutes left, so I think we'll say our goodbyes and our goodnights. Thank you for calling in, Irish Rose and Laurent. And thank you all, as always, for being such a wonderful co-host, Katie. Much appreciated. Always a pleasure to hear your voice and your humor. Great sharing time with you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it as well. Some beautiful poetry. Yeah, we had a lot tonight. It was really great. And also thank you to the people who called in and the people who sent us their poetry. What would we be without them? Well, we'd just be talking to each other, I suppose, which would be so stupid. So thank you. And thank you and good night.
A shout out to Hope and Poetic Picasso for hanging out on the board and listening in. Much appreciated. Much love, everybody. Good night.
Good night, my dear. Good night, everybody. Thinking of you, Luyu. Hope you feel better soon. Thank you for sharing Blog Talk Radio.